Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, the Chupacabra, UFOs, aliens, Area 51, conspiracies, unsolved crimes, the supernatural. Are they real or are they figments? With your hosts, Colleen and Eddie Medina.
Good evening and welcome to Figments, the show that brings you the unknown, the undiscovered. Unknown and undiscovered is kind of the same thing. The mysterious, the unpredictable, the paranormal. Almost said paranorman. Paranormal. Let's see, what else can I throw in there?
Have you been drinking tonight?
The cryptid. No, unfortunately.
Maybe you should start then.
And my favorite. That's okay. My favorite, the macabre.
Oh, gosh.
Which is also difficult to spell and pronounce if you don't know what you're doing. I am your host, Colleen Medina, and with me tonight is my cutie pie, hubby poo co-host, Eddie Medina.
Cutie pie. There goes my tough image.
You don't have a tough image.
I did once at some point, I'm sure.
Maybe. Once in my life, I
maybe
was tough.
Maybe kindergarten, first grade. No, actually, when I took karate. I took karate at the rec center. I had a pretty tough image at that point. Of course, that's only because I was like about, 12 or 13, and everybody else in the class was 5 or 6, so, they're kind of scared of me.
Oh, come on. That is sad. That's really sad.
Of course, they all did gang up against me at one point, so
good.
That was kind of scary.
Good. Payback. Anyway. Okay.
Tough discussion.
Enough with your tough image. Yeah, I think you just blew your tough image out the window yourself with that one. Mm-hmm. Tonight we're going to talk about the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And there's a big conspiracy theory with that one. The more we've researched, we've learned of a couple of new things. So tonight we're going to talk about that. And it's really sad because the Kennedys have gone through so much in their life. The parents had, 3, 4, 5, 6 children. And the oldest boy was killed in combat and war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we know what happened to JFK and RFK. And then they had a daughter who had like a breakdown, and then she had a lobotomy done and completely ruined her.
Yeah, pretty much ruined her life after that, and she ended up passing away.
And then, of course, Jack Jr., he and his wife were killed in a tragic plane accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Kennedys have just, the family has just been rife with tragedy after tragedy, and this is just another one, to add to it. And, of course, just like with John Kennedy, it's controversial. It happens at a time where he was just on the up and up. He had just won the primaries there in California as a senator. He was on his way to becoming president. I mean, you and I both agree that if things had continued the way they had, in all likelihood, he would have become president.
Yeah, I really think so.
The country was just still reeling over the death of John.
And Kennedys. Martin Luther King Jr.
Exactly. Exactly, and
I think just that year in April, that same year.
Yeah, the country was in such turmoil, they were looking to someone like Bobby to step up and, continue the work that his brother had done. So,
and as sympathetic as he was,
and
that's really what the country needed at that time. I mean, they needed someone like him.
Exactly.
And some people call him a savior. I don't like to use that term, but I can see where they're getting that from. And they needed him. And it just makes it even more sad. It's just one thing. It seems like it's one thing after another.
People call it a curse, but I don't think it's so much a curse. I just think it's just, that's what life, that's what happens, They were public figures, John and Bobby, and unfortunately you have those crazies out there who have, evil in their hearts and want to, do harm, so. But yeah, getting back to Bobby, he had just won the primary. Things were just on the up and up for him politically. Like you were saying, he was such a sympathetic person. I mean, for all the good that John did, I think Bobby was a little bit more approachable by the common man. He was more sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
In his causes. As much as the country backed John, he had a little bit more,
in his pocket to go with.
Yes, exactly. There you go. That's exactly it. So
did he have his hand in his pocket too?
Oh, gosh. And So here we are. We're at the Ambassador Hotel. It's after midnight, and he's
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and he's giving his victory speech to the crowd.
So it's a really neat scene. You see him at the podium, and he's got his wife up there, Ethel, and then he's got his bodyguards, who one of them is Rosie Greer, who was a football player.
Yeah,
and there was another one who was some sort of famous.
Well, George Plimpton.
Yeah, okay.
He was like a reporter, and I was thinking, oh, George Plimpton, he did like stuff for PBS, like Masterpiece Theater, but actually I did a little bit of reviewing and digging around. He didn't do Masterpiece Theater. He did Mousterpiece Theater, which was the Disney Channel.
Big difference there.
Yeah, well, I was close, but I remembered him from something. But anyway, but yeah, no, George Plimpton was was also a public figure at the time, and there was an Olympic medalist that.
Yeah,
was also the
I
other
forgot
bodyguard.
About that. Uh-huh.
I forget.
And
his
it's
name.
Funny seeing them all up on stage. Rosie Greer's right in the back. He sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, he is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
He was huge.
Definitely,
but anyway,
mistake him for a former football player.
So it's a really neat scene where Bobby is given his last few words to the audience, and he says, "Now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there." Mm-hmm. And those are literally his last words to the people that were helping him with his campaign and everything.
Yeah.
So he's shaking some hands and kind of turns around and fixes himself, and so then they're off to go do the next thing.
Yeah, and in that case, people were saying, well, they changed their itinerary at the last minute. And the reason why was he actually had to address a second group there at the hotel. I'm assuming this was a giant hotel if that was the case. So he was
probably
going to
called
another
the
part
Ambassador
of the,
Hotel, I would think so.
He was going to another part of the hotel to address another group of supporters. And because of the scheduling and they're running behind, and they decided to just skip that group and just take him straight to the press conference. And that's the whole reason why, literally at the last minute, they rerouted him up that, corridor that led through the pantry of the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Which was very small. I mean, all those people in there, that was extremely claustrophobic when you see video and pictures. And then whenever you see the aftermath, when there's nobody in there, you can see how much smaller it is.
Exactly.
So it's easy to find out who's doing the shooting there in such a small area because it's all so confined. Mm-hmm. But then you kind of look at it a different way. It would be easy to mistake who's doing the shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, if they have a smoking gun in their hand, mm-hmm. but did they have it in their hand? Was it put there?
So, they lead him up this hallway. As the story goes, before we get into all the what-ifs and the conspiracies and this happened, no, that happened. They lead him up the hallway, and as the story goes, Sirhan, who was an American, Palestinian, they say that he was on a low tray holder, and mm-hmm. he jumped down or stepped down from it, was in front of Kennedy, fired his shots. Kennedy was struck 3 times, and then he was, Sirhan was wrestled to the ground. Rosie Greer and George Plimpton were actually two of the people who wrestled him to the ground. Bobby at the time was shaking the hand of a busboy, and that's the famous photo you see of Bobby laying on the ground and the busboy is holding his hand,
That's so sad.
Yeah. So as he's on the ground, apparently he asks the guy, is everyone okay? And the guy responds, yes, everyone's fine, just something to the effect like, just relax and we'll get you help. Someone places their coat under his head. He's bleeding from behind the ear and, shot 3 times, once behind the ear, the right ear, and twice under the right armpit area.
Mm-hmm.
They have him on the ground. They're Sirhan on the ground. They're wrestling him. They get him down. And this is the weird part. After a minute of subduing him, he's actually able to break free. He grabs a hold of the gun a second time, but thankfully it was out of bullets. He wasn't able to do any more damage with it.
See, that's crazy. What happened
exactly
there?
After a whole minute of having him subdued.
Right. That doesn't make any sense. And this whole thing doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We know that the fatal bullets came from the back. Sirhan was always in the front.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, before we get into all that, let's continue with the story. So Sirhan, they have him finally subdued again. They have Bobby on the ground.
Oh, and don't forget that five other people were shot?
Thank you.
But he was the only fatality.
Yeah, you're right. 5 other people were shot. the police, obviously, they arrive. They take him, they rush him to the hospital. So they have Sirhan in custody. We'll touch on this later, but apparently, at one point, there was a witness that said a lady who was one of the Kennedy supporters, like one of his support staff or something.
Right.
She was sitting out on the fire escape at this point. She said a woman in a polka dot dress and a man, a Hispanic man, rush down the stairs, and the lady proclaims, "We shot him." And she asked, "Who?" And she said, "We shot Kennedy." And they continue, and they leave. So, but we'll get into that a little bit more later.
Hold on. Were they both wearing polka dot dresses, or was it just a lady?
Just a lady.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
Okay. So, Kennedy gets rushed to the hospital, and around about a day later, you know, about maybe around about 26 hours later.
Yeah, I didn't even think he lasted a day. I thought it was like 23 hours, but...
Well, he was shot shortly after midnight on the 5th.
Yeah, I thought he died on the same day, too.
No, he died on the 6th.
Oh, he did?
It was about 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning.
Mm.
Yeah, so he made it a little bit over a day after the fact.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, on June 5th. June 5th, 1968.
Yeah, he was shot and died on the 6th, so... And that's the story. So now we can kind of backtrack and go step by step and see where there are inconsistencies and where the conspiracies spring from and so forth.
Well,
so.
Talking about inconsistencies, like I brought up before, they say that Sirhan is the shooter. Matter of fact, he's still alive in prison and to this
about
day.
70, I think he's mm-hmm. 70 now.
And he's gone through many... parole hearings and has been denied parole, obviously, every time. They say that he's always in the front, but the fatal shots come from the back. I've heard the LAPD being interviewed about this, and the interviews that I've heard, they never really answer this question. I've heard other people talk about it, and a photographer actually saw that Kennedy was shot and then spun, not all the way around, but just spun around, and then that was what kind of made it look like Sirhan was always in the front of him. But then mm-hmm. there's the people that said that Sirhan was up on that stack of stuff.
The tray holder.
Yeah, in front of Kennedy.
Yeah, the witnesses place him always in front of Kennedy. They know it's a corridor. It's, you know, he's traveling in
there's not a whole lot of room.
There's one direction that he's traveling in. So they know his point of origin. They know his destination. They know the direction he's heading in. They know exactly where Sirhan was placed, according to the witnesses. So they always have him placed in front of Kennedy.
Now, I have a question about that. Could it have been that once Kennedy passed Sirhan standing on that stuff, he jumped down and shot him
and
then?
And caught up to him? No. No. The witnesses are saying he jumped down and was always in front of him.
I know what they're saying. I'm just trying to think here how it could happen.
That's
because
a possibility, but it totally goes against the reports of the eyewitnesses.
Well, do we need to bring up the Warren Commission?
Yeah. So we have Sirhan always placed in front of Kennedy. He emptied his gun. So let's talk about the bullets real quick. So his gun was a .22 caliber 8-shot revolver. So he had 8 shots. So they can account for the 8 shots by saying, you know, there was 5 other people who were shot once. So those are 5 bullets. Kennedy was hit 3 times. So there's your other 3. So that's your 8 bullets. Well,
right.
What they're not taking into account are the other bullets that witnesses say they saw.
Yeah, some people had said that they saw at least 2 bullet holes, what they thought were 2 bullet holes, in the doorpost leading into the kitchen.
Yeah, it was a double door little area.
Yeah, in between the two doors, there's a post, and they said that they saw the 2 bullet holes. The LAPD said that those were not bullet holes, that the kitchen was old and there were holes everywhere, and it was basically falling apart. It's no wonder that they saw holes and cracks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Soon after that, the post was taken down and destroyed, where no one could...
Removed.
Yeah, where
what
no
the
one
heck?
Where no one could research it further.
Okay,
I'd also go ahead.
Just real quick on those, since we're talking about those two bullets, there was an expert, a forensics expert that says it's very easy to confuse just like some random general hole with a bullet hole. He said to the untrained eye, it's very easy. And he claims that he's one of the people that say that these people saw 2 just random holes and assumed they were bullet holes. Well, one witness also said, who had some background in this, he was with the police department, obviously. He said that he inspected those two bullet holes, and he said he could see, looking into the holes, he could see the bullets lodged in there, number one. Number two, he said he could see fresh bits of wood on the outer part of the bullet holes. The bullet struck, he said he could see fresh little bits of
like
wood.
Like it just happened, yeah.
Yeah, fragments of wood. So he said that's what he saw. That's why he knows that there were two bullet holes, two lodged bullets were in there.
Right.
This other naysayer, as I like to say.
Oh, are we going to get through any episode without you saying that?
You know, he said the supposed forensic expert, he wasn't even there. This came after the fact. He was interviewed later. They wanted his opinion on that. And his opinion was, well, it's easy to confuse two random holes with bullet holes. Well, that's good and fine. I'm sure that's the case. But he wasn't there. He didn't inspect the post. He didn't see what this other person saw. So, yeah, that's just your opinion.
Yeah, we're talking about the assassination of a U.S. senator who is running for the presidency of the United States. So you're going to tear down this doorpost and get rid of it and not do any further investigation in it?
It just seems that really shady.
Yes, thank you. That is ridiculous. The first thing they should have done was either take down the whole thing or just, you know, try to remove the bullets and do some investigation.
Yeah, exactly. And the LAPD gets really irritated because they're saying they're tired of having to address all these conspiracy theorists, you know, these crazies who come out and want to question everything that they're doing. Well, it's like, well, fine. That I'm sympathetic toward y'all. Y'all, you know, already have a hard job to do, but don't add fuel to the fire by doing stuff like removing a post
right.
and not inspecting and not giving reason why. You know, there's little things that you can do to make your job easier and that will help, you know, dispel a lot of these conspiracy theories.
And, yeah, we'll keep people from doubting what you're doing. You know, if you don't do things like that, then people aren't going to question what's going on.
Yeah.
And I had also heard that there was a bullet hole found in the ceiling tile.
Yeah.
And shortly after that was discovered, that was also taken down and replaced with a new ceiling tile. So things like that could easily have been taken down, taken back to ballistics and looked at, investigated, and figured out, okay, if this didn't come from Sirhan's gun, because his bullets are accounted for, what gun did it come from?
Yeah.
And I think that is the whole reasoning behind this, was because more than likely there was another gun, another shooter, but to kind of, well, you know, we've got the man that we know did it, and that's all that we need, and we don't need to investigate it any further. So that's the whole reasoning there. If you take it down and you get rid of it, then you don't have to investigate it, you don't have to find bullets, and you don't have to work on it more to figure out where did these bullets come from and what's going on here. You know, did we just put the wrong person in prison?
Well, and that's the whole point that they're saying that they're covering up, because those little tidbits don't fit into their nice, neat little report of what happened.
Exactly.
And, of course, it could not, I mean, there's a possibility there wasn't a bullet lodged in the ceiling tile. There's a possibility there weren't two bullets lodged in the door frame. But we'll never know, because that stuff was removed and replaced.
Yep, we'll never know.
So, we got already too many bullets accounted for. That Sirhan's 8-shot revolver, okay, there's already the first major discrepancy there.
Right.
The second shooter theory is a popular one with conspiracy theorists. So let's address that. There was a security guard. Now, did he have a background in the police department? Or
I'm not quite sure. I don't know if he just worked for the hotel, but he had the exact same gun that...
For some reason, I thought he was like off-duty or retired, but, you know, either way, he was there.
You know, the more we were doing research on this, I was fine. I thought I knew everything there was to know about RFK, this assassination, and I'm learning more and more stuff about this. He had the exact same gun that Sirhan apparently had.
.22 caliber, yeah.
And he said that he sold it because I guess they were... I don't know. Do we know what caused them to talk to him about his gun?
I don't quite know, but when they did question him about it, like you said, he claims he
sold it. Yeah, he claims that he sold it before the assassination. But records, whenever they dug further, records indicated that that was not true, that he sold it after the assassination.
It's crazy.
And I think that was pretty much all there was to that.
Well, that as far as their investigation, they closed the door on that guy.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Witnesses say that he had his gun drawn. He was behind Kennedy, and they claimed that his gun was a smoking gun, like it had been fired in it. Witnesses claim they saw smoke coming from the nozzle of his revolver. Come on. Somebody's lying here. Either this guy is lying, which receipts show he's lying that he sold a gun when he did, or the witnesses are flat out lying about him having a smoking gun.
And I believe his gun was the gun that was melted down shortly after this assassination, to where they could not investigate if any of the bullets came from his gun. So that's another thing.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
That's another thing. So, you know, was that, if he did shoot Kennedy, was it on accident?
Uh-huh.
Was it on purpose? You know, it's all these little things that are just crazy. Nope. And I just think, why is there always, you know, in the Reagan attempted assassination, mm-hmm. it was very clear cut. Mm-hmm. But with the Kennedys, it's just, you don't have answers, and you look at one thing and you have questions that are not being answered, and then that leads you to something different.
Yeah, exactly. And no one is saying that this guy purposely shot Kennedy to kill him. It could have just literally been it's so confined in that corridor.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much confusion. It could have easily been that he fired his gun and accidentally struck Kennedy. No one is claiming that he killed him on purpose. It could have easily been an accident.
It could very well have been that he was trying to shoot the shooter, whoever that was. So
whether or not it was Sirhan or someone else that he saw.
Exactly. And with Sirhan grabbing the gun a second time after being subdued for a minute, that kind of makes you wonder. I mean, he admits that he had his gun with him because he was at the shooting range that morning. You know, was he just trying to pick up his gun again? You know, it just does not make any sense.
Yeah, and we can cover that a little bit later here once we cover the Sirhan aspect of it. And kind of going in the same direction of tampered evidence or what all. Colleen, you mentioned something about the LAPD incinerating thousands of photos taken that night at the event. What was up with that?
Apparently, they got rid of a bunch of their photos and just files because they did not have room to store them anymore.
And this is the Bobby Kennedy assassination we're talking about.
To me, I think if I were to make that decision, I would have thought, okay, let's go through and figure out what is the least important case in here. Get rid of that stuff if we had to get rid of anything. Why would you get rid of any kind of evidence from the assassination? That is one more item on the LAPD's list of things that they did horribly wrong on this investigation.
It's so weird. It's a political assassination. It's a U.S. senator that was gunned down. Why would you get rid of anything, no matter how unimportant you think a photograph is? Up until that point, or even now, even, we've only had two U.S. senators that have been, you know, gunned down and killed, and that's Bobby Kennedy and Huey Long. It's not like this thing was... Even if it was a common occurrence, you still shouldn't do something like that. But it's not like this is something that was a common occurrence. This is only the second U.S. senator in American history to have been gunned down and killed. Why would you get rid of a single photograph from that night?
Exactly. Because they already had their person locked up. They already convicted Sirhan. It was done deal. And so, okay, this is over, so we can get rid of this stuff. Yeah. We don't have any room to store it. That was their reasoning. It doesn't mean that I understand it or agree with
it's
it
ridiculous.
At all.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And it's just, like I said, one more reason for people to look at the Los Angeles Police Department in a negative way.
And then they get irritated that mm-hmm. conspiracy theorists come and bug them left and right. But come on.
And if you watch some of them being questioned, mm-hmm. they will not answer the question.
Yeah.
They just want to answer it with, you know, there's no conspiracy. And, you know, it's almost like they're making fun of the person asking them. But you know, they're still not answering the question.
And speaking about the photographs taken that night at the event, let's talk about, is it Scott Enyart? Enyart? E-N-Y-A-R-T. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Sorry.
I think it was Enyart. He was, I believe, a teenager. I think he was about 18.
Yeah, he was either a high school student or a college student. I guess he was invited there.
I know he was a teen.
Yeah.
And he was there.
Yeah.
There's a photo of him in the actual room where during Kennedy's speech. Somebody else had taken a photo. And he was there taking pictures of before Kennedy's speech, during his speech, and then after.
Yeah.
And what he said he did was he went into the kitchen and climbed up on some refrigerator type thing, freezer, I don't know what it was.
Counter type thing.
And in someone else's photograph, he claims that he is the person in the photograph taking a picture of the scene. And it doesn't look like him, but then I was looking at it more the other day, and there's another guy in the photo that does look like him.
Is he up high? So
he's not up high, but it's like you just see him from the side. And I'm wondering if that was him. And I mean, I'm not questioning that this man was there as a teenager taking photos, because it's obvious he was. But some people think that he was not in the kitchen taking photos.
Yeah.
So he...
I've seen that photo that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. To me, it really doesn't look like him to me.
Well, when they showed this documentary that I was watching, when it showed him in someone else's photograph there, and he's saying that, yeah, that was me in the big ballroom, it doesn't look like the person in the kitchen, but it does look like this other person in the photo. So he took a whole bunch of pictures.
I guess, okay, not to confuse you, but yeah, I don't believe that was him in that one particular photo standing on top of that counter taking pictures from up high.
Yeah.
But I do believe he was in the corridor taking photos.
Right.
Somewhere in there, because he's got the photos. You can see his progression of photos throughout the night, and it leads up to the... Ideally, he would be in the corridor at the time. And what happened was, he, like anybody else, the shooting started, he got scared, he's a young guy, a big chicken like me. What?
No. Yeah,
and
exactly.
He takes off running, and he's being pursued by some, I guess, CIA agents or Secret Service or something, you know, some guys.
Well, I think they're the reason why he started running.
Yeah, he didn't know who they were.
He didn't know if they were terrorists or, you know, he didn't know who was the target.
He didn't know who were the good guys, who were the bad guys.
Right.
All he knew is, like, he was being pursued in the hotel by some guys in suits. Uh-huh.
They looked very suspicious, so that made him panic.
He runs out of the hotel. He's trying to get out. You know, he's outside. They're following him. They catch up to him. They identify themselves as being agents or whatever, and they confiscate his film.
And at that moment, he's saying, "Oh, you know, these are the good guys. I'm with the good guys here."
They say they need to take his film as evidence, you know, to figure out what's going on. He complies because he wants to, you know, do the right thing and have them, you know, help them capture the right guy.
He's told he'll get it back.
Yeah,
he told he'll get it back, and he never did.
No, well, they did give him photos back, but it was all the other photos. It was the photos from before, during the speech.
It was years. Well, what happened was, everything from Bobby Kennedy's assassination was locked up for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so after that 20 years, then this Scott...
Enyart.
Yeah. He decided that he, you know, he never got his photos back, so he was going to contact the, I guess it was the LAPD. I don't think he contacted the FBI. I think it was the LAPD. They could not find anything. So they told him that they... You know, everything had been destroyed, and that's when we find out that the LAPD had destroyed all this evidence. So then, I think he files a lawsuit to get his photos to get something done about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, an attorney is involved, and with some great detective work, as he likes to say, some photos were found, I believe, either in a different city. No, I think it was in Sacramento. So that would be different city, same state. And there are photos of before his speech and during his speech. But there are no photos of when he claims that he was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so he says, these are not all my photos. It's obvious that they've been tampered with. And this attorney is saying, you know, it is one long set of photos. There's no break in between. So, I mean, you know what you took photos of. You know if some of your photos are missing or not. Mm. And so that's another suspicious aspect of this whole story.
He finally gets to the point where they comply and they said, oh, you know what? We do have all your photos. And they're going to return it to him. So they have one of their guys from the LAPD who was going to, I guess, hand deliver the photos to Scott.
Yeah, I think they found the, didn't they find the negatives?
Yeah. Yeah,
somehow, yeah. I forgot about that. And so, oh yeah, we found the missing, because I think he filed another lawsuit,
yeah,
or something. Did. So these people aren't waking up until lawsuits are being filed against them.
So they have their guy who's going to deliver these negatives to Scott,
and he's just got a courier.
And so it's in an envelope. It's in apparently the back seat of his car.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls over at a gas station because of a flat tire.
He realizes he has a flat tire, so he pulls into a gas station, goes out and looks at the tire, and it's obvious that it's been slashed on purpose, and so he's trying to get it fixed. And then when he gets back to the car, I guess he's trying to get help for his tire. When he gets back to the car, he notices that the envelope is gone.
Yeah, so apparently it went missing.
Yeah.
So now we're back to square one, where
it's just one thing after another.
So yeah, never to be recovered again.
No,
sorry Scott. You probably had the answers right there in the rolls of your film, but,
I'm sure he did. And so, that's why he doesn't have them now.
Exactly, exactly.
It just reminds me of the JFK assassination, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But some of those people's photographs and videos were confiscated.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the woman in the polka dot dress. There's not a whole lot to talk about, but I think it bears mentioning. So there's one of Kennedy's political party supporters.
Help. I guess, not helpers. Just a supporter, but she actually worked for his campaign.
There you go. Yeah. And she is sitting on the fire escape, just taking a break, and doesn't realize that all this is going on. She says, a woman in a polka dot dress, white dress, black polka dots, and a Hispanic man was with her. They were.
Yeah, she said, I remember he was Hispanic because I'm Hispanic.
Yeah. And so they're coming down the fire escape, and the woman, why? Kind of seems odd that the woman would just offer up this information. She says, we shot him. And she said, who'd you shoot? And she said, Kennedy. And they go on their way. So she reports that to the LAPD. And
she said it almost seemed like they were bragging about it as well.
It just seems kind of odd why anybody would give up that. I mean, if you're on a fire escape, obviously you're trying to make your getaway.
Yeah.
Why would you drop that bit of knowledge on some passerby?
Exactly.
It just that I'm not saying it didn't happen, but
it's just another odd. Yeah, odd part of the story.
She got questioned by the LAPD, and this guy was trying to, he grilled her for over an hour, telling her, and it's on tape. Feel free to go search this, you know, on the internet.
I believe his name was either Officer or Detective Hernandez.
Yeah.
I know he was Hispanic as well.
He's grilling her for over an hour, just really trying to wear her down. She's adamant about what she saw, what she heard, and he's telling her, no, you're confused. You didn't see that. I did. She's saying, I did. I saw what I saw. No, you didn't. You don't want to throw away your life. You're young. You know, if you say this, if you go ahead and say this, you're going to ruin your life because you're telling a lie. She's like, I'm not lying. I know what I saw. And I think what happened is, as he's just, you know, hounding her, it gets to a point where she starts to question herself. She starts to get confused.
She's getting confused.
She starts to wonder, well, shoot, you know, it just maybe the being scared, maybe just being exhausted. She starts to question herself, but, you know, she keeps saying, I know what I saw. I saw these people. They did say this. Every time she would say, but they did say it, he would come back and say, no, they didn't.
I mean, why would she make that up? So could it be that these people came down the stairs trying to get out of that place because it was so chaotic? And they said they shot Kennedy.
Yes. I've always wondered that too.
Yeah. So this...
maybe she heard it as, we shot him, instead they were saying they shot him.
Yeah, just saying he's been shot, you know, and everybody's in a panic. And
to
again,
me, that makes more sense.
Right. And again, everybody's in a panic. But, you know, I've always been a firm believer that if you're telling the truth, no matter how much you are interrogated, unless it's Jack Bauer, then, I mean, you know, you knock yourself out so he doesn't do it for you. You stick to your story. You stick to your guns. You continue to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And you don't give in. And I hear, you know, I signed this affidavit saying that I was the guilty party. I just signed it to get them off my back. I'm sorry. You're going to sign a letter saying that you killed somebody just to get the police off of your back? I don't think so.
Yeah, I've never understood it either. But then again, you and I have never been in that position.
I don't want to be, but I just think, no, if you're innocent, you're innocent.
Yeah, stick to it.
So apparently he was just wearing her down, and like you said, in the end, she just became confused and, you know, I don't know, and she was even saying, it's all messed up and I don't know. So I'm wondering if she realized that maybe that wasn't what they said. I have no doubt that she saw some people, but maybe she was starting to wonder, maybe that's not what they said. Maybe they said they killed Kennedy, you know, just like somebody as in they. Uh-huh. Who knows who it was, killed Kennedy. And she didn't really want to say, oh, yeah, maybe they said they killed Kennedy.
Yeah. So the woman in the polka dot dress apparently was a brunette, according to her. And the LAPD tried to address that issue because I guess they were feeling the heat on that one. So they brought forth what they said. Well, we found the woman in the polka dot dress.
Oh, gosh.
She turned out to be a blonde lady.
Mm-hmm.
How they picked her, because clearly the lady said she was a brunette. Well, so this blonde lady, forget her name, but apparently she was also part of the campaign thing, I think. It could not have been her, not only because of the color of her hair, but because she had a cast on at the time on her foot. So she's not going to be going down a fire escape with the cast on her foot. You know, she never said she had a cast. She never said the woman had crutches or anything.
Right.
So people are saying, okay, LAPD, you're saying that, but we're not buying that.
Right.
We're not
buying it. I mean, the only thing I can think of is if the elevators were full and this lady was scared out of her mind, she just wanted to get out of there and she was going to go down the fire escape with the cast on. Maybe she could kind of walk on it. But back then, I don't really think we had casts like we have nowadays. It was more of a...
You can't justify that. There is no justifying it. If the lady was sharp enough to, okay, brunette, polka dot dress, Hispanic guy, she's going to know she's got a cast on her
foot. That's true. And she'd be going slow. She'd be hobbling.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's not the same person. I don't care what the LAPD says. That's not the same lady.
No. I don't think so either. Yeah. And they, of course, they would have to pick the blonde. Mm-hmm. It's like just one more thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to save... the whole Sirhan thing for last, because that's the biggie. Let's cover it.
Apparently it's not, because he was the person that did it, and that's why he's in prison.
There's one last thing I want to address before we get into Sirhan.
Who's in charge of this show? There is one last thing that I would like to address before we get into the Sirhan, and that is a theory by, who is it, Shane O'Sullivan or Sean O'Sullivan?
I'm not going to help you out. You're in charge.
Oh, maybe it's Cher. Who knows?
It's Shane O'Sullivan. He has a theory that there are three CIA agents.
Oh, goodness. Delirious. The delirium is setting in.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so three...
I give you permission to go ahead.
Three CIA agents were actually seen in the... What was it, during the ballroom, during mm-hmm. his speech? Those they were pictures. Actually seen.
Yeah, beforehand.
And they were identified. They could apparently be identified, you know...
By other CIA agents.
Yeah. Okay, and then after Kennedy was shot, is that true? One was being led out of the kitchen holding some sort of container?
Yeah. What it is, okay, there's one photo. Let's go one at a time. The first one who apparently was identified, his name is David Morales. He apparently he's got a very distinct look. He was a staunch anti-Kennedys, not just Bobby, but John also, mm-hmm. because he hated the Kennedys because they...
I would think if you're anti, you would probably dislike.
Because the... whatever. Don't throw me off. he hated the Kennedys because they John Kennedy withdrew the air support during the Bay of Pigs fiasco.
Right.
The second agent that was identified, Gordon Campbell. Now, he was the man that you mentioned was being directed out, apparently, on video. Mm-hmm. But he also hated Kennedy for the exact same reason. These two guys were known as hating the Kennedys. And one CIA agent who ID'd them in the photographs and on the film, they said, the guy questioning them asked him, is it possible that David Morales and Gordon Campbell were there as protection for Kennedy? The guy laughed. He was like, no. He said that they would be the last two people I would have to protect Bobby Kennedy. He said they hated the Kennedys.
Right.
He laughed at it. He said, that's ridiculous. He said, if they didn't like someone, these are the types of guys that if they didn't like someone, they were there for a reason.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. They were there for a very specific reason, and it wasn't to protect them.
Right. The Kennedys were not liked by a lot of people. We talked earlier about people thought of the Kennedys as the savior, and once JFK was assassinated, here's Robert 5 years later is mm-hmm. going to just, you know, turn the country around and everything. But so we're talking about civilians loved the Kennedys. There were a lot of people in offices, in political offices, that disliked and hated the Kennedys. Yeah, we know the mob disliked John. We'll get into that more when we talk about his assassination. You know, that does tie in with these agents disliking him. I don't like to say the word hate, but...
Yeah. So, there is footage of supposedly Gordon Campbell... And there's a gentleman next to him who they say he's directing him out to an exit. He's making his way away from the pantry. They say he was coming from the direction of the pantry. He was holding some sort of container, holding it tightly to his chest. We don't know what the container has. You know, some people could say it's a gun. Some people could say some sort of piece of evidence, something maybe he got off of Sirhan or maybe something he got off of Kennedy.
Right.
He's holding a container. He's being let out. Now, there's a third agent who was ID'd there in photographs, and maybe even, I don't know, they think he was the guy directing Gordon Campbell out. His name, let me think, make sure I get the pronunciation, George Janitas. There you go, George Janitas. He was the third agent who apparently was ID'd at the location. And again, these are all, they're all being ID'd from agents, retired agents, who had worked with them at one point or another, or knew them through reputation or by, you know, one way or another.
Right.
So, the theory that the CIA was involved, that's where that stems from. The fact that people ID'd David Morales, Gordon Campbell, and George Janitas. See, that's where there will be some confusion coming up here. But for sure, David Morales and George Janitas, they've both passed away. I think one passed away in the early 80s and one in like 90 or 92. 91 or 92. It was said for a while that Gordon Campbell, his whereabouts were unknown up till about 2006, I think, was the last time someone addressed the Gordon Campbell issue in an interview, and they said his whereabouts were unknown. This is where the confusion comes in, as if this whole story isn't have enough.
I was about to say,
guys, here's one more for you guys. They say that records show that Gordon Campbell was killed in 1962. Who, if that's the case, who was the man the night at the Ambassador Hotel? They say records show he was killed in 62, but other people say that they worked with Gordon Campbell in one respect or another throughout the 60s, after 62. So if Gordon Campbell's on record as dying in 62, there are other people who have come forward and said, no, Gordon Campbell was active. He worked in this respect in, like, let's say 68 or 69. You know, he was doing this in 1970.
So, that's fishy. Did he want people to think that he had died?
Well, you know, that goes back to the whole thing that people say that, you know, you can, if you're a spy or if you're like an undercover agent, you can dang sure do a lot much more effective work if people think you're dead.
Right.
And that's where that, you know, people are you know, saying about that. So there's that about the CIA agents.
Are these people, you know, so selfish? They're working for the government, but they are so self-centered in their own beliefs and desires that they would hate their president or
That much.
A senator that much. That is what gets me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get into Sirhan.
The big kahuna. I've been saying that a lot here lately.
Yeah, you have. You're wearing it out.
Oh, exhausting. No. Excuse you.
So Sirhan Sirhan, an American Palestinian, he
claims to be a Palestinian Christian?
Yeah, he claims.
And we don't really know what that means.
Well, just that he believes in the Christian ideals. And why a Christian would do the things he would do and kill another man is, you know, it goes against everything that Christianity stands for. But we'll get into that, because that's where people say, well, that proves that he was brainwashed.
Oh, yeah.
The whole Manchurian candidate thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he wasn't acting under his own will. But anyway, we'll get into that in a second. So
are we going to get into that in a minute?
No, a second.
Oh, a second. Sorry.
So he hated the Kennedys, Bobby Kennedy in particular, because Bobby promised that if he was to be elected, he was going to send 50 fighter bombers to Israel to help them in their cause. And Sirhan said if that were to happen, they were going to use those fighters to kill Palestinians. And he literally, in an interview, said that he thought of Bobby Kennedy as a villain, flat out. He said the man is a villain because he was willing to help cause the death of Palestinians. And Sirhan said he couldn't have that.
Well, and that's really not his call to make. That's why Bobby was going to send the bombers over.
Yeah.
And all these Palestinians were going to die.
Yeah.
That's not what that means, but that in his mind, that's what was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's...
Crazy doesn't know it's crazy.
Exactly. That's what is so scary. These thoughts and beliefs and your assumptions can, I guess, be the death of some people.
Yeah. And so Sirhan claims to this day that he did not kill Kennedy. He claims he doesn't even remember all of that going on. His story that he did an interview later on, more recently actually, his story is that he had dinner that night and he had heard that there was going to be some sort of party rally type thing to celebrate like the 1 year anniversary of whatever war had happened over between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and he didn't feel it was right that the Israelis were going to publicly celebrate at the expense of his people losing land to them. So his intention was to go there and protest.
Mm-hmm.
So he was driving to this location. He admits that he had his gun with him in the seat next to him, and when questioned why he had the gun, he said he was at the gun range earlier that day.
But he said the gun in the seat next to him was locked up in its case.
It was in its case. Locked up, I'm not sure. But it was in its case. It wasn't like it was just sitting out, like, you know, he was ready to use it in a moment's notice. But he did have it with him there in the car. He said he got to the location, realized that the celebration party thing wasn't that night. It was going to be the next night. You know, he left, found his way to the ambassador, and they when they asked how he was, you know, what made him go there in particular, he said he doesn't know. He doesn't remember specifically why he drove there. He doesn't even really remember going there. Just all of a sudden he was there.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he was thirsty. He went to the bar and had four drinks.
Mm-hmm.
But claims he was not drunk.
Yeah, then, he said he felt like he had been drugged.
Yes. Doesn't make sense to me either. But he said
four drinks. I mean, sometimes that will make you feel like you've been drugged.
Well, it wasn't like he had four beers. He mentions what it was that
Tom
he had.
Tom Collins. Those are pretty strong.
Okay, I wouldn't know. But so it's like a hard liquor.
It's a mixed drink. Yeah.
Okay, Tom Collins. Okay, so it's not a Joan Collins.
They're married.
Punk.
Excuse
you. So he felt like he was drugged and claims at that point that he was in and out, like he felt his limbs were noodly. He felt like he maybe was almost like the way he described it was like he was outside of himself. Like these things were happening, but almost like he had no control over it. And I think that's where a lot of people also use that to support the theory that he was hypnotized, this whole Manchurian candidate thing. And if you're not too aware of what that is, that's the idea that the CIA, the FBI, whoever else will get people, hypnotize them to carry out these political assassinations, to do these dirty jobs, to do things, you know, that basically they hypnotize them, they get into their heads, and they create these assassins. And at the given time, whether it's a keyword that is spoken, a phone call that is made, something apparently is done that triggers the person to go from your normal, average, everyday Joe to trained assassin with one thing in mind. It's like going from just being a regular person to the Terminator. And I'm not trying to be funny, but that's basically what it is.
Right.
And that's why people are saying, well, yeah, he was a Palestinian Christian, and according to his beliefs, he wouldn't kill, he wouldn't do these things that he ended up doing. But because he was hypnotized, he was doing things outside of his will, things that he would normally not do.
Yeah, apparently his medical research done on him showed that he is very easily able to be hypnotized.
That's right, I forgot about that. That they actually, the LAPD, when he was saying, he was sticking to a story that he did not remember shooting Kennedy. He did not remember doing all that. So they actually, the LAPD put him under hypnosis.
That's right. And even under?
At least twice. And even under hypnosis, he couldn't remember.
Which to me, that's...
that's scary.
You know, I'm not sure that I believe the
it's
whole
a tough one.
Manchurian candidate hypnosis thing. I know watching people talk about this kind of stuff, it has been proven that people have been hypnotized or brainwashed to do certain things, but they said that it's never been proven that anyone has been brainwashed or hypnotized to be an assassin.
Yeah, but it's scary because
it is
apparently
scary.
Psychiatrists say that he is of the type that is easily hypnotized. So then you have to ask, well, if he is easily hypnotized, and it's proven because they've done it
right.
on him, then it stands to reason that once under hypnosis, the LAPD should be able to draw out him remembering the step-by-step of what happened when he killed, when he shot Kennedy. The fact that even under hypnosis, he can't remember it, it kind of makes you a little scared thinking, okay, if this whole theory of being of the Manchurian candidate is real, then it stands to reason that the process of putting this person in such a deep hypnosis, if you were to look at hypnosis as different levels. So the level that the LAPD had him in, let's just say it's at this one level. The Manchurian candidate level would be a level beneath it, even deeper in his subconscious.
Right.
So if the LAPD is working on this upper level, then of course he's not going to remember killing Kennedy because that is on a level below it, deeper in his subconscious. Does that make sense?
It does. And
it's scary.
It's almost like part of, if this is all true, it's part of the brainwashing and the hypnotic experience that your memory of this whole thing will be erased.
Yeah.
This message will self-destruct in 20 seconds. I mean, seriously.
It's crazy,
if
though.
If this person who is becoming a Manchurian candidate can go and tell someone that these people did this to me, well, wouldn't those people be smart enough to have that part of their memory erased?
Yeah.
Or so messed up that person will not be able to go back to their memory?
Yeah, exactly. It's a hard theory to buy into. It really is. Even though there's not just with Sirhan, but there have been other cases where I've looked into this particular thing. And I got to admit, there's some things that you really have to, you can't answer, you can't explain away. You're thinking, wow, it's a hard thing to buy into. But at the same time, how do you explain this, and this? And Sirhan is just another case
right.
where it's so much easier to say he shot Kennedy. But the truth, you never get to the truth by the easy route.
Well, it all goes back to, it's just part of the mystery. Mm-hmm. He was always in front of Kennedy, but Kennedy was shot from behind. And no one really wants to answer that. People have said, yeah, I saw whenever Kennedy was shot, he spun around. And that's when Sirhan was supposedly in, it just looked like he had been in front of him.
Yeah.
But then other people said, no, he didn't spin around. And so it's all of these little things that just continue on and on. And on and on.
Yeah.
Now, like I said before, because I just watched the video, the documentary on the Reagan assassination attempt, the man who shot him, he did it. I forgot his name. John. So it's a three name.
I know. I'm drawing blank too. Sorry.
John Wilkes Booth? Yeah.
No.
Hinckley.
Is it Hinckley?
John Henry Winkler. No. John Hinckley Jr.? I think maybe that's it.
No, it's not Junior. You can't count Junior as...
Well, I think the third thing, it may be an initial. You know, they have evidence that he was the one shooting. You know, there's no doubt in their mind. And he even said that he did it because he wanted Jodie Foster's attention, because he was fascinated with her.
You're right, John Hinckley Jr.
Okay. Yeah, see?
Sorry.
Look at me. I believe he got put away by saying that he was not guilty by reason of insanity.
Yeah.
And then he did not go to prison. He went into, you know, pretty much an insane asylum or whatever they're called nowadays. Yeah, I mean, he said that, you know, said that he did it, but he's saying that he's not guilty because he was crazy. And, you know, that's a different story. I guess I'm just trying to relate that to Sirhan. There was never, with Sirhan, there was never a not guilty by reason of insanity. You know, usually
he just said he didn't do it.
Yeah, usually the person is guilty when they say, you know, when they, or I guess they're always guilty whenever they say that. Does any of that make sense?
Or no.
Have I just confused everyone, including myself? I don't know. Don't know where I started.
Well, Sirhan, see, that's the thing, is we don't know how the brain works. As much as we like to understand the brain and how it functions and why it does the things it does, we only know a smidgen of why it does what it does. We don't understand the brain completely.
We don't even use most of our brain.
We don't know how it could be utilized in the wrong hands. Right. So we cannot discount the whole hypnotic, you know, assassin theory. It is possible. I'm sure anything is possible when you're talking about the brain and the vast part of the brain that we have yet to discover, what it's capable of. Just to kind of wrap things up, it's all a big mess, and unfortunately, you wish justice would be served. You wish answers could be answered. Questions could be answered. Sirhan, did he fire just 8 shots? Was there a second shooter? How can you account for these other bullets? Why were pictures burned? Why was a post removed?
Why does he say he has no memory? Does he really not have a memory, or is he lying?
Who is the lady in the black dress? Why did the LAPD try to get that lady who reported the lady in the back polka dot dress? You know, why did they try to get her to change her story? You know, who were these three men? Were they CIA agents? You know, were they not? Were they just, you know, attendees?
What was in that container?
Yeah. Okay, we forgot to mention this when they're talking about the three CIA agents. Sullivan, the guy who came up, Shane O'Sullivan, who came up with the theory, he actually, years later, backtracked and said that two of the men who he had ID'd as CIA agents turned out to be, I think, employees of the catering service or something? Or maybe the hotel? So he actually backtracked and said that he was wrong about those two guys being CIA agents.
Oh, wow.
But the CIA agents that he went to originally and said, hey, can you ID these guys? They are sticking to their story. All those other retired CIA agents are sticking to their story and saying that Shane O'Sullivan may have backtracked and said those two men were employees of the hotel or catering service, but we're not. We say they are who they are.
I wonder who got to him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this big bowl of messiness here. And like,
back and forth.
Like you said, I hope one day something will come out to where we know the truth. And
yeah.
It's not just, oh yeah, Sirhan did it. He's mm-hmm. locked up. We know all these details and things will be found. Maybe some evidence will be found. Maybe some investigators will dig deeper. You know, when you're thinking about all of these things and you're asking yourself all these questions, the most important question to ask is, are they real or are they figments? Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Figments is a production of EdMed Art Studios and hosted by the Jedi Cole Universe. You can find us at www.jedicole.com and www.eddiemedina.com. Thank you for listening, and keep searching for the unknown.